On Friday, September 28th, the Norris Group proudly presented its 11th annual award-winning black tie event, I Survived Real Estate. An incredible lineup of industry experts joined Bruce Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, tech disruption, and opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. All proceeds from the event benefit Make-A-Wish and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. This event would not have been possible without the generous support of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association, Invest Club, Inland Empire Real Estate Investment Club, Think Realty, Wilson Investment Properties, Coach Fullerton, First Lending Solutions, Property Radar, The Apartment Owners Association, MVT Productions, and Realty 411. Visit isurvivedrealestate.com for event information and see Amazon Prime or YouTube for past events.
John, you and I have talked about this to where, you know, we could have said in 2009, okay, forget it. Anybody who's breathing can get a loan, because now their house would have gone up by two or three times.
Yeah, right.
We'd have solved a lot of affordability issues and everything. So we let loose of the, you know, the reins late in the cycle, but we don't do it when it's most appropriate and most affordable.
Not only that, but in debating whether to attempt to halt the price and price declines that were underway, and that we introduced policy to prevent that, which means that prices never actually reset according to market fundamentals. So if you look at the relationship between incomes and prices, price never got back to the relation to its long-term relationship with fundamentals of income.
You know, I think, you know, this is just my opinion, but that's why I love to bat it around. I think there's a lot of safeguards in this market. So the fact that we have a certain percentage of FHA loans right now, what about all the loans that are in place? So, you know, for you to have a price decline going forward, you'd have to have, in my opinion, a glut of foreclosures emerge from this pile of loans that we have. I don't see how that happens. You've got the biggest bunch of trillions of dollars of equity, and we haven't refied our equity out this time. Probably not because we wouldn't have wanted to, but they didn't let us. So you have this huge pile of equity. Everyone has a fixed rate loan, by and large, not a teaser rate, and there's no programs that could explode. You know, you don't have a two-year program that 2 years from now a lot of people have, and that's going to be a problem. We don't have that. We have a fixed rate loan that starts with a 3 or 4 predominantly, left the equity in place. The last 8 years, people have actually had to have down payments. They've had credit that they care about. They've had all the stuff that you qualify for. I mean, how do you end up with a gigantic pile of foreclosures out of that? And to me, that's the driver of price going down. I'd love to hear some disagreements with that. I really would.
Well, it would be massive job loss, because most people are living paycheck to paycheck, and if a lot of people lose their jobs, you'll have a lot of defaults. So, but it's not anything else. It's just people need a job.
Okay, what's a lot of defaults? Because this is the ratio. Let's take a look at a median price. I'm just batting around with you. Yeah. You know what that's okay. So in the 80s. That would be called high unemployment. In the beginning of the 80s, we had 9.5%, 10% unemployment. We had 1,000% increase in foreclosures and no change to the median price. Go to the 1990s, and by the way, that was about 1 in 4 sales, if you will, trustee sales to sales. Go to the 90s, you have a ratio that got to about 40%, so 4 of 10 comps are theoretically an REO. And the latest one, 2008, it was 80% trustee sales to sales. So I look at that and say, the 80s, we didn't have price damage. 90s, we had gradual price damage, and we had a catastrophe. So how do I determine what the next downturn, slowdown, crash is going to look like? I try to look at the ratio of trustee sales to sales, and that's where I'm coming from, is I don't, even though you're right, you're going to have all those charts go negative. You're going to have unemployment. You're going to have a rise in foreclosures. But if it only gets to 25% of the market, one in four comp is an REO, then the appraiser, when he goes out there, can go, that's not the market. The market is the other three. If it's four of five, they can't do that. It is the market.
I would only say this, is that, you know, real estate crashes on a national level are extremely rare.
Yes.
But they happen in local markets more frequently. So I think the scenario that you described, well, it might not be impact, you know, prices from a national standpoint. There's local economies that could be devastated if there's dramatic losses in jobs. And depending on where those markets are, you could see large price reductions in some of those markets. So I do think that's kind of the way it operated for decades before 2008. I think after 2008, we think again about the likelihood of another national housing crash. I think you're right, though, Bruce. The fundamentals are extremely different today than they were in the early 2000s, and a lot has to do with lending. And so go back to your point about, you know, FHA loans are being made. They are being made by independent mortgage lenders. And as I said before, there's multiple buyers for every property that comes for sale right now. So the impact of, you know, not having enough qualified buyers hasn't really been felt. But I think it can. I think that can change as the supply and demand balance sort of changes. Also, people, independent mortgage bankers tend to be the ones that are the first ones out of the market when the market really gets soft. So if 95% of the FHA loans and first-time home buyers in general are being serviced by independent mortgage bankers right now, that's fine. But when the market does turn, a lot of those companies are going to retreat, if not get out of the business altogether. So not having the big lenders in there can have an effect down the line for sure.
They could stop lending during the next, even a little bit of a slowdown, because they just don't have the capacity to lend it. And who's going to be making those FHA loans?
That's right.
Some legislation that's going to get voted on, rent control for California. Just spoke at an apartment conference. That was a very interested group.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious. Do you think it'll pass?
I've been hogging the mic. I'll let one of them do
okay.
it.
Anybody have an opinion? No?
No.
I think it's a mistake. You know, in general, I think manipulating the market like that always has unintended consequences. I kind of get it, right? I mean, we do have a rental affordability crisis, but I think you solve that by adding more supply into the marketplace, which is challenging, but I think that's the only way to get it done in the long run.
Okay.
I just say the only way you solve affordable housing is to actually build more affordable houses. You know, we've made in my little hometown of near San Luis Obispo, right? My dad hated this local builder because he just built these crappy homes with T111 siding and just terrible windows, and like everything about these homes was awful. But they were half the price of the rest of the homes. You can't legally build that home here anymore, right? You have to be Title 24 and all this, you know, environment. So you're talking about a home that costs half as much, and yeah, maybe it costs $50 more a month to heat, but if it's half as much and it costs $50, that's a good trade-off. Like, I really think we need to bring back the ability to build some subdivisions of really shitty homes.
Okay, I've got to
be the quarterback.
Well, you know, yeah. No, NIMBYism, somebody said, not in my backyard. And just to be clear, right, this is we are the reason we don't have affordable homes, right? I live in Tahoe, and it's funny, we have a local nonprofit who has two missions, right? One, mountain area preservation. They want to preserve the area as it is. And their other mission is affordable housing. Choose, right? You're not going to get everything small town stay the way it is, not in my backyard, and get more houses and affordability. Everybody wants affordable housing if it's far, far away. And that is our fundamental, you know, problem. We've got state legislatures who maybe aren't quite as local that are trying to shove some of this down the city's throat, as we heard mentions to earlier. And cities and local, right, those local homeowners, as soon as it's a subdivision in their yard, an ADU with an Airbnb rental next door, people have a real problem with it. And that's the fundamental. We come to consensus around that. We solve affordable housing.
California, according to CARB, is maybe building 80,000 less homes than they feel like could be occupied. Is that about right, John?
I'm not sure.
Okay. What is the process like for a California builder versus any other place? Is it just...
Oh, it's just hellacious. I mean, I have national clients who build basically the same home here that they build in other markets. I mean, there's some elevation differences, and they're hundreds of thousands of dollars cheaper. I mean, the affordable housing solution is in Texas and Arizona, and that where is 62% of migration going? From Arizona through Florida into Georgia. And the public builder with the best margins and the fastest growth and the best stock price is a company named LGI Homes, their average sales price is, I think, $80,000 less than everybody else's. They just came to Rio Vista in Northern California, and I understand sold 80 homes in 30 days. But there are 100, you have to drive to get there, but they're 100 to 200 grand below everybody else, and they build the same house over and over so they get it done more quickly. And a lot of the people, the home builders, look at them and say, that's not a nice house, because they, you know, that's not what the other guys build. But they're people that are moving in saying, this is a palace compared to my Class C apartment that I was raising my family in.
Yeah, those you know, those homes my dad hated in our little hometown, right? A lot of them got upgraded over time, and they got stucco, and they got, you know, dual pane windows, and they got, you know, that happens over time. But those folks had a way in, you know, in which they could do that. You force all those things at the start, they can't afford, they can never get in.
We've got 7 minutes left, and I want to end the way I normally do is asking. Either you can answer either one of the two questions. I'll start over here on my left. So looking forward to 2019, anything keeping you up at night, or what's the one thing that you're most excited about?
My son just started college, so that's keeping me up at night. No, I do think that... you know, I actually was on CNBC a couple of days ago, and I said the outlook for housing right now, just based on fundamentals, is strong. And, you know, I think investing in real estate right now is one of the best times ever. I think the demographics that you mentioned before are really what's driving that. And I do think that innovation in the process, which is what you talked about a little bit now, I think the purchase process, the whole process of buying a home has been, you know, so difficult for too long. And I think the regulatory apparatus and just the unique nature of housing has suppressed innovation, I think, to a certain degree. But we're seeing that change. And so I think the process of buying a home is going to improve dramatically, if not in the next 12 months, certainly soon. And I think, you know, again, because of demographics, demand's going to be there for a long time.
Okay. Thank you. Sean?
I'll follow Gary on the son thing. My son having his driver's license, being free in the world is a scary thing.
Does he does he already have a pilot's license and a drone or something?
He's working on the pilot's license.
Okay.
I think the bigger picture thing that keeps me up, like, I don't think there's a problem here we've talked about, whether it's affordable housing or anything else, that we can't solve. Like, I have incredible confidence in that, but we've got to find a way to move past such polarized views on everything. I mean, this country was built on compromise of people with very different views, yep. but realizing they needed to come together to solve problems and move things forward. And I think probably everybody's right, but about different things in different ways, and finding that thing in the middle is going to be really important, whether we're talking about NIMBYism and affordable housing or larger issues. And then what I'm personally most excited about kind of in the next year is I do think we're going to start to see, because of the affordable housing crisis and other things, I think we're going to see loosening up and trials in places and building codes around some really innovative things on the building thing. And maybe we are getting close to that, you know, Sears modern home catalog of 1908, where we do see a big shift in how homes are built affordably, and with maybe much better quality, better environmental impact and the rest. I think we're at that cusp of that. There's a lot of really cool stuff going on.
All right, Eddie.
Keeping me up at night. I have a son that just started college as well, so that's a valid concern for me too. And the election cycles, I think, sometimes are a struggle when you look at the state of the current economy and where we are and what's going on. What I'm most excited about is being someone in my 30s who is running a very large corporation or multiple corporations. Is 10 years ago, I had to search all over the country to find the technology that I wanted to build. I had to find people that could build it. Today, young guys that are coming out of college, young guys and girls that are coming out of college, you know, people that can write code for a living, it's like the new blue-collar worker. You know what I mean? It's amazing. Yeah. The innovation that they bring, you sit these people down in a room, and what they come up with is solutions. I mean, it's just the bright minds that are coming into the workplace. As much as people look down on the millennials, I find them to be extremely intriguing, and now being the fulfillers of all the dreams that I have. And so that's pretty exciting. And I guess a two-part answer to that is along with that, I'm interested in watching our industry as a whole legitimize itself. You know, it's interesting to me that we get more invitations to come to Washington now more than ever. It's like, you know, the real estate investor is now the new unicorn to a degree. You know, there's so much happening around it and so much invitation. And so to me, I'm excited to watch this industry as a whole legitimize and grow and for our opinions to matter. And I think that as we innovate and as we invest and as we move forward, I think that it's going to be a great year.
In the large picture, I worry about the accumulated debt that we're leaving to our children and our grandchildren. And that, to me, is a representation of the loss of confidence in market functions and the benefits of markets for creating wealth and income because of that shift toward government for all those things. So, but on the optimistic side, I noted I was sitting at the table. I was listening, but I also looked up on my phone when the Apple Watch was invented. And it was 1946 in Dick Tracy when they introduced. So that was 72 years ago. So I just see lots of optimism because of all the technologic change. It's going to affect processes. It's going to affect costs. It's going to affect structures. Might have to get the local building code people out of the way to solve some of these problems. But I just see lots of benefits coming from technologic innovation.
Thank you.
So I would be amiss if I didn't say what keeps me up at night is my two almost teenage daughters and how much Snapchat time that they have going on their phones. But I did learn that if you call it chat snap, it kind of really gets under their skin a little bit, and you can kind of poke back at them. So there's some advice for all of you out there.
I'll try that.
Actually, I've said it so much that they actually say chat snap now. I'm like, stop, you're confusing me. What I'm super excited about, obviously, from our perspective, is just reimagining the entire real estate transaction and what can technology and data and AI and all of this cool stuff that's coming out, how is it just going to make the consumer's life easier? We have all these things like, you know, Amazon out there, and we expect things immediately, and we get deliveries like in a day, and God forbid it take 2 days to get something, because that would be horrible, right? So I envision, and I'm excited about what that transaction will look like for when my kids grow up and they buy homes. It's going to look completely different than how we do it today. And I hope it's easier and seamless and a wonderful experience for them.
Thank you.
Well, it's funny. I also have a daughter starting college this year, but maybe this is a comment on men versus women. I'm excited for her. I'm not worried about her. I'd be worried about your sons, actually. You know, and I agree with everything everybody said. I think the most exciting thing for me is just how much this industry is changing and how fast it's changing, whether it's what's going on online with Zillow with the consumer driven or what's going on with the construction. And we are going to get a new person overseeing 44% of all mortgages in a couple months, so things are going to change there. And that's what gets me fired up, is what I don't know, and it's very exciting. I also want to end with one last plug. I got the opportunity a couple weeks ago. I went to a Packers game and toured the stadium, and there were two Make-A-Wish kids on the tour with me. Absolutely emotional. What you are all doing tonight is huge, so thank you for that.
So what keeps me up at night is kind of what's already been said. I'll put it this way. I would like for every elected official to not act like a Democrat or a Republican, but act like an American
yeah,
for the whole time. That's a pretty simple request, because that's what they're supposed to do. I do want to thank all the people here, including Carr, who's not here, have made it possible for me to look at data for free. No, it's really important, and look at historical data, to where I try to be able to put together a picture, and it's so much easier because it's shared. If they kept that, it would be very difficult. The book that you wrote, John, really was very important, because what I'm most excited about is what we're about to get involved in Florida with, that we're basically working with a large builder and have a chance to be in the path of obvious migration. And I wouldn't know that if it wasn't for people like John saying, you know what, this is how it's going to work. Because, we didn't get to a lot of questions, but, California used to win the migration game, the domestic migration game. That's how we got to be the number one populous state. And now we lose it all the time. And other places are winning it for really good reasons, and that's where a lot of growth is. So that's what I'm excited about, is to be in the path of that growth with some of my chips. So I'm excited about that. Where's Aaron? Aaron, thank you for brainchild. Yeah, I'll give him a standing O. Very cool. Thank you, guys. Thank you all for coming. Enjoyed the evening a great deal. Thank you.
See you, Sean.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate.
Coldwell Banker Town & Country, Guaranteed Rate, and Nathan Cheboya. Inaday Development, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Jason Thorman with Coldwell Banker, Jennifer Buys Houses, Keystone CPA, LA South RIA, Las Brisas Escrow, Michael Ryan and Associates, New Western, NorCal RIA, NSDREI, Orange County Real Estate Investors, The Outspoken Investor, Pacific Premier Bank, Pasadena Phoebe, Pilot Limousine, Real Wealth Network, Rick and Leanne Rossiter, SJREI, Spinnaker Loans, South OC RIA, Tri-County Association of Realtors, UDirect IRA Services, White House Catering. See isurvivedrealestate.com for event information.